listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Happy Tuesday. So glad you guys are back with me this week. We have some things to talk about, and I tell you, there is more than a handful of, let's say, criminals running around today, or am I underestimating that fact? Well, I could be, but some interesting things have came up since the last time we were on the show together. Remember the gentleman that, you know, basically went home to find another guy in his bed, and long story short, it was a friend of his? That was a little traumatizing, and I guess more so that, you know, he's in the middle of a complete storm right now, being incarcerated for basically walking in on a situation that was totally out of his control. And then with all this other stuff going on, it's like, you know, this guy is still hurting from what happened to him. You know, he's facing 40 years. And the young lady that he was involved with, you know, she kind of moved on with her life and acted like, you know, this stuff never took place. But unfortunately for him, he still has a long way to go to try to defend himself and put up a good fight when it's time for his appeal. Maybe he can claim insanity, because who wouldn't go insane seeing something like that? Walking in your house, as he gave us detailed information, he hears these noises, and, you know, basically he walks into a really horrible situation that really, I mean, 40 years is like doing life, but, you know, if you walked in on that, and I'm quite sure, depending on which judge he has, because sometimes, you know, people seem to not understand that judges are real people too, and they live real life situations. So at times, a judge can have some compassion, more so towards not the victim in some cases, but towards the perpetrator, because they're like looking at this guy like, you built this house, you took care of this woman, she never worked, you know, she finagled her way through life totally against you, by, you know, sleeping with your friend. And by the way, guys, who knows how long this has been going on? Could have been going on for a very long time. And if you remember, he said he rented a cabin. You know, this guy was the third wheel. They had fun together, and really, really sad situation, you know. Something nice for her for Valentine's Day, by the way, guys. It was a Valentine's Day treat. And speaking of that, when I think back to Valentine's Day, I think about St. Valentine that got, you know, murdered because he professed his true love. And this is why it's called Valentine's Day. Well, it was originally supposed to be called St. Valentine's Day, because they're celebrating the death of Saint Valentine. So he does this horrific act, you know, not on Valentine's Day, because this situation happened way down the line after Valentine's Day. But, you know, it's kind of heartbreaking to hear that the guy got 40 years and his friend, well, his alleged friend, let's say that, basically walked away with 280 staples from his pubic hair to his chin. You know, I would say that was coming off on the light end. I hate to say it, but, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, that this young lady got her jaw broken in 5 different places because she decided to cross the line of, you know, indulging in acts when she really shouldn't have been. But who knows what the real story is behind that and her real reasons for doing it. I would let her come on the show, but I think that would be a huge conflict, because remember, guys, I don't know if you know anything about this particular story, but she was on, Ayanla Fix My Life. And she has a twin sister. And they both were on Ayanla Fix My Life. And they basically told a whole bunch of lies, you know, about the situation at hand, you know, and what really happened that day. You know, one sister was colluding with the other one and basically trying to make the sister who this happened to look really good and paint the picture like she was a real victim. And this guy that she was involved with actually had a malicious act, you know, like a target on her head, like a hit, like he had a hit out on her. And he reacted to, you know, his hit, like he got paid to like do some damage. But got to remember, it was in his own home, in his bed that he paid for. You know, this kind of reminds me of the movie. The husband was abusive. This guy wasn't abusive, but the burning bed, like what if he would have went in and lit the bed on fire, you know, and like just got rid of both of them. So I don't think he actually walked in to actually do harm. And this is why it might be good for him on his appeal, because he actually walked into a situation that he had no knowledge of. It's just something that happened. And I know she has to be remorseful about what she did and her role she played in it, because, you know, she was the culprit. She was the mastermind behind this alleged, you know, I won't say sexual act, I'll say bank robbery. You know, it kind of reminds you of Bonnie and Clyde. You know, Bonnie would set things up. Guys, you've seen the movie. Clyde was like, all right, I'm with you, Bonnie. Whatever you want to do, let's just do it. You know, and Clyde risked his life out there doing certain things. So did this gentleman by getting caught in another man's bed. Now, guys, come on. You know you don't enter another man's house, especially when you know that another man lives in that house and sleeps in that particular bed. So shame on him for even doing something like that and betraying his friend of many years over a woman who now he's no longer with. And then come to find out, guys, this guy had like a drug problem. You know, he was on some type of narcotics that left her with absolutely nothing. So all of the riches that she stole from our caller last week, she basically took those items and thought she was going to live the high and mighty life. And this guy basically said, I see a better place for these things. You don't deserve them. Look at what you did to your boyfriend and got me all stabbed up. And I got 280 staples to live with for the rest of my life, even though the staples are gone. But he has 280 lines. Guys, think about that. You draw 280 lines. That's a lot of lines to look at every time you took your shirt off. You got to see, wow, I could have lost my life behind having a good time. One, with someone else's woman. Two, in another man's bed. Three, you're in another man's house. You know, all these hotels, you got to go to the guy's house. But it seems like somebody was comfortable with that situation, because nobody would have ever thought, let's do this here, unless you're crazy. And crazy is it, because look at the end result. So there was a lot of questions that came in for this gentleman, and people want to know, you know, they have some questions that are a little deep, and we cannot ask those questions because he has a pending appeal that's coming up soon. And being as though all of these shows are recorded, I cannot have him address questions that could potentially hurt his case. So I wanted to just throw that out there to you guys, because there were some really deep questions. People want to know, you know, people want to know about like the alarm system on the house, and was it activated? Did he deactivate the alarm going in, or did he just walk in the house? Why was he so quiet entering his own home? You know, people have those type of questions because inquiring minds want to know. They want to know his story and they want to know the facts surrounding him catching her with his friend in the bed. So people want to know. And a lot of those questions to me, they actually make sense because I didn't think to ask some of the questions that I can ask that would not affect his case. I never thought to ask them while he was on the show. And they were actually, they're very good questions because, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, well, you're not really, I mean, guys, listen, you walk in the house, you got keys jingling, you got stuff moving around, you know, you're making some noise. The door has to slam shut at some point, unless it's a really quiet door and, you know, it has like a airdrop on it where it actually self-closes itself and it's silent. So it kind of makes you wonder some of these questions that were asked to me that they want to ask of him. They want to know why was he so silent and moving very quietly in his own home while going home to retrieve something that he forgot or going back home because he didn't want to notify her to say, hey, I'm on my way home. I, you know, like you said, I usually call, and this particular time he didn't call. So did he have an, you know, you get that inner feeling like, let me see what's really good, what's going on while I'm not home, you know, the type of the mouse will play while the cat's away type of thing. Because if the cat catches you, he'll scratch your eyes out. There's no secret about that. So it kind of makes you wonder, guys, what type of mental status was he in? Was he the type of guy, and he sounds pretty calm, you know? He sounds like he's a very laid-back guy. He gets down to business. But was he the guy that was walking in with a dozen of roses, you know, saying, hey, listen, I'm here to surprise you. I want to take you out to dinner tonight, get dressed. Or was he the guy who had a feeling, you know, that bottom gut feeling, like something isn't right here. You know, is it that type of situation going on where, you know, he kind of felt something was wrong back from Valentine's Day and he never addressed it because he kind of went there, like the third wheel that came along, like what was his motive? And you have no date coming along on, you know, a Valentine's Day getaway in a Tennessee cabin. That was kind of weird to me. My friend would have never been allowed to come. Okay, you have to bring your own friend and you have to cuddle up in your own corner so I could have my special moment with my loved one. So there was a lot of things that went on that he allowed that should not have been allowed. And I'll say this because I'm a female, but it's against the guy code, you know, to bring along a third wheel, a male especially, and it's just you and your wife, unless you guys have that type of relationship and he's more like a brother. But it's still kind of weird because you're trying to have a romantic getaway weekend for Valentine's Day. So that was kind of weird to me also. That would have red flagged something in my mind that my significant other would have been like, you know, I'm trying to sideline and have an affair with your friend over here that is basically willing, you know, to do whatever. And guys, listen, you got to be careful today when you're choosing the right type of female in your life. I hate to say it in this manner, but some women are walking around with mattresses on their backs and they will lay down at any given time. And I'm not trying to be mean or facetious by saying this, but you got to know what female is going to be your female. You know, not everyone is going to be the one for you. So guys, do some homework before you start falling in love. You know, like this caller last week, he fell in love. He was charged with kidnapping and rape. Yeah, false accusations, of course. But this young lady that he had gotten involved with and fell in love with, she came up with, you know, I was raped. And as a matter of fact, wait a minute, I was kidnapped. So he didn't know that she had a boyfriend. And I totally get it because people are weird and they do weird things. So guys, you got to take some responsibility for your own actions. Remember Wife 215 and Joe being Joe? Yeah, I think Joe being Joe learned his lesson on that one as well. And for my listeners that's on tonight that wasn't around for that particular show, Joe being Joe, guys, this is like, that's introducing a whole nother show altogether. But to make a long story short, Joe being Joe and Wife 215 are married. The neighbor Larry falls in love with Joe being Joe. And little does Joe being Joe know that Larry, the neighbor who fell in love with him in her mind, was actually peeking at him through the window. He gets out the shower, you know, he's showing off his biceps, of course, to his Wife 215. But little did he know, Larry is actually watching him. So being friendly and being neighborly is one thing, but being careful of who you surround yourself with as far as any friendships and relationships may go, guys, you got to take some accountability for your actions. Because guys, you know, you always say women are very flirtatious, but you guys also flirt in a very indirect way, giving women the impression that, you know, you're that guy. They'll see you washing your wife or your girlfriend's car and they're like, let me strike up a conversation. Maybe he'll wash my car, you know, and then the next thing you know, you're in a conversation about cars and you don't even know why or how you enter that conversation with this total stranger that you barely know. So guys, you got to sit back and take accountability for your flirtatious actions indirectly, because some guys are a little too friendly. And when you're a little too friendly, you leave the door open for a lot of bad things to happen. Okay? So, prime example, there's lots of stories making the headlines today. Guys are actually going out here on a rampage. They're killing their girlfriends. They're killing their wives, all out of jealousy. You know, because they're looking like, oh, my wife's flirting with him. Maybe she wants him. You know, and it's not that type of party, but, you know, a guy has a tendency to remember, well, I was talking to my neighbor and it was kind of flirtatious. So, guys, you got to take accountability because there are a lot of lonely, desperate women out here today that will try their best to enter into your situation in their minds or in their human person to say, I actually have a thing for this guy. And then you'll be caught in a booby trap with no way out. So guys, you got to be very mindful. And being as though we're touching on guys being mindful, because, you know, women have always taken the blame for stalkerish behavior. Okay. And this can lead to a criminal situation at the end of the day, because stalking is illegal. I'll tell you one particular situation that's very amusing. Believe it or not, guys, I don't consider myself a celebrity. I have a lot of listeners that come on that enjoy the show, but I have a stalker. And unfortunately, it's a female that I don't even know. I've never even seen her in person before. Calls my phone periodically from block numbers. I just don't know what's the motive behind it as of yet. But, you know, I would personally say to the stalker, you know, do you have anything else to do with your life? You know, like, are you a professional? Or, because I don't know this person, guys. You know, it's just very weird. I'm not sure if they enjoy the show. They just want to have a conversation with me. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I could tell that the person is not a professional, because professional people usually have duties and tasks to do throughout their day. They're not focused on, you know, someone that doesn't even know them or someone who doesn't even give them the thought of the day. So it's kind of weird to be in a stalker situation with a female that I don't even know. I could just say that it's very sad, you know, and it's a very gloomy place to be in when it's called not having a life. And I get it, you know, because these lonely people out here today, they have tendencies that, you know, they suffer from mental illness and trauma in their lives. So I kind of understand it. And that's why I'm very compassionate towards people with mental illness, you know, and this mental illness within people in the world today, you know, it runs deep, you know, and people seem to think that this is just something that the person is going through. You know, they don't know if the person is actually crazy or not. But sometimes the medication that they give these people for depression can actually lead them into another state of mind. So sometimes when people encounter other people and you don't even know their mental capacity and you don't know their childhood trauma and you don't know the trauma that they're living with today, fighting demons, you will come across a very broken person that, remember guys, you can't fix broken. You cannot fix broken. I've tried to fix broken in many ways. I've tried to fix the broken, crazy police officer. I've tried to fix the broken coffee mug. I've even tried to fix a broken light bulb because it was one of those vanity bulbs and I loved it so much, thinking I could glue it back together and not understanding the chemistry factor of it all with the glue and the heat and the electricity. And I realized I can't put it back together. It's already damaged. So it's only good for the trash at this point. So you got to know who you're dealing with. And this goes for some females today too. There was a young lady, 19 years old, that went on Bumble. It's a dating website. She went out with this guy. She's looking for love at 19. And, you know, her parents were worried because they didn't hear from her later that night. Long story short, he actually killed her, you know, and he claims it was an accidental death, you know, because they found out that he was the guy from the dating site. And this is a very sad, traumatic thing that can happen to anyone's child. You're not exempt from anything out here today. You are human. You bleed, you sweat, you know, you even stink like everybody else. So at the end of the day, don't leave room for error to happen if it can be prevented. You know, there was a story, I'll tell you, this is very traumatic. It was a coworker of mine who is a part of law enforcement. I will put that out there. That his son actually was a mass murderer. And this kid, and I'll say kid because to me he is a kid, 22 years old, he is recruiting women from Plenty of Fish, Tinder, and different social media sites. But he's true story, guys. Recently, he just got sentenced to 3 life sentences at 24 years old. But he was recruiting women to go out with him on dates. And he was actually, and you would think in your mind, like 22 years old, he's a fairly nice looking kid, graduated from high school. He was in college. Why would he want to go out on a date and kill someone? And he wasn't just, you know, going out on dates with girls in his age group. He was actually going out on dates with women that were the age of his mother. So they were like 45, 50 years old. And he's going out on these dates. And long story short, he actually burns one lady up in a house, sets her on, well, he murdered her first, of course. And then he set her on fire. And I'll tell you guys what got him caught. This is 4 murders later. What got him caught was this one young lady. Now, this was a young lady that was 10 years older than him. She was like 30. True story, guys. It happened out of Orange, New Jersey, by the way. If you Google search, you know, social media dating site killer, it'll pop up. So this young lady who's in her 30s, she's looking for love, you know, in all the wrong places. What does she do? She actually goes on the, you know, the dating website, Tinder. She's looking for love. And she goes out on a date with him. And she actually fell for this guy. You know, she's like, he's younger than me, but I think it could work. And what she did was she went to a home that she believed was his home, but in actuality, it was not his home. So after the date, they go back to his alleged home, and then he began to strangle her. He strangled her, he raped her, he beat her. And this young lady is around to tell the story. And I'll tell you how. She faked her own death while he was choking her. She pretended to be dead. And that is how she made it out alive. And you would think in your mind, what would lead this young man, this kid, he's a kid really, into wanting to commit this heinous act of murder on innocent women who were just truly looking for love? So to backtrack the story a little bit, guys, this kid was living with his own trauma, okay? And he found out that his dad, who is my coworker, was not his biological dad. And he found out that his biological dad was killed in a motorcycle accident. So you got this kid living with the trauma and being lied to by his mother, basically in his teenage years. So he had a hard time coping with that. And that's another fact too, ladies. When you get into a relationship and you decide you want to have kids, at least tell the guy who's the biological dad, you know, you're the dad, and not have foolery with 20 other men pretending that they are the father and they're not. So there's a lot that comes with that. You know, you don't know what trauma you could have on the child, you know, growing up and saying, this is what it is. And now this kid finds out, and now he's a serial killer. I mean, no offense to the race, but this kid is an African-American young man. Now that, you know, all along, they were not looking at African-American, because usually African-Americans don't strangle, they shoot, they stab. Sometimes they burn, but they don't strangle. So that was the kicker in this case. He actually was strangling the women, you know. And when the first woman was burnt up in the home, that's when they finally did some investigation, some homework, and found out, hey, she was on a dating site. So this kid was living with his own demons, and he created this heinous act of crime, because he was a victim of being hurt by his childhood trauma of being lied to. You know, I'm not making excuses for the kid, but no one thought about his feelings throughout all of this. So he wanted to kill every woman that he could kill, because in his mind, maybe he wanted to kill his mother for lying to him all those years. I mean, like the guy that came on before, remember the foster kid that became the adopted kid, you know, to this so-called good family. And the good family was like a living nightmare. It was like life and death type of situation, where he had to basically, you know, he tried to kill her. He poisoned her coffee creamer with rat poisoning and boric acid, and it didn't kill her. And then he went mentally in his mind, every woman he basically wanted to kill. Anything that resembled this woman, this foster mother, he wanted to kill, shoot, stab, burn, stomp, whatever he could do, poison, You know, and I'm glad that he became a different person, because can you imagine him today, guys, with that mentality on women? You know, because remember, the woman that was supposed to love him and take care of him under that third party umbrella system was an abuser to him. So you have this kid growing up, you know, 16 years old, she puts him out. Like, you're on your own. Get out of here. You know? And he has to fend for himself. And basically, it destroyed his life, because the only thing he knew was the street life. He knew nothing else but how to survive on the streets. And you know, guys, I'm going to let you in on a little something, because I had a conversation with that caller, you know, the young man, now grown man, that was, you know, adopted. And my conversation with him was basically, he wanted to hurt every person like this woman hurt him, you know? And I just still couldn't fathom getting beat with an electrical cord, you know, or a 2x4 at that age, and then being forced to wash her naked body in the tub and be subjected to seeing certain things at that age he should not have been seeing. You know, there are some things that I couldn't air out with him on the show. But if he's listening tonight, you know, I want to let him know that I'm very proud of him. And, you know, I know it was a lot of people that sent messages that also wanted him to know that they're very proud of him. And they wanted to let him know that, you know, it's two words that have rage in them. And they are glad that he had the courage to come on the show and express himself, and being the better man that he is today, to show the world, you know, I am somebody, even though nobody wanted me. You know, it was very heartbreaking to hear some of the abuse and some of the things that he didn't disclose on the air that was said to me. You know, it was very heartbreaking to hear that there could have been some type of situation where if he wasn't as strong as he would have, you know, as he portrayed himself in that situation, she maybe would have molested this kid. You know, it would have probably been a repeated action of molestation. Because if you can go that far to abusing a child that you swear and you vow to love, and you actually, not only was this woman a foster parent, she went a step further to adopt this kid, to say, I'm going to make him one of mine. And remember, this woman had other children. He had other siblings. He wasn't the only one. He might have been the little guy that was stuck there and left behind. But as soon as he found an escape route, he was out of there. And I commend him for running into her one day and just looking at her and just, you know, saying, your karma is coming. For everything you did to me, you're going to suffer for that in many ways. You know, now that the woman is older. And, you know, I always thought in my mind, you know, when people get older, and usually this happens before they're about to, like, you know, kick rocks. Usually it's more like they want to start repenting some of the things that they've done in their life. Like, I abused this kid. I want to come clean now. You know, I starved this kid. You know, I took advantage of him. You know, when she portrayed to be someone that she was not. And that is very heartbreaking, because nowadays, even in those days, let me take it back a little bit for you. In those days, people had to be prepared to take on children with disabilities. People had to take on responsibilities of children that had been molested. You know, This runs very deep, you know, and still today, and I'll tell you how the system recycles itself. okay, this is like recycling cans. You know, it's all a money thing, you know? And he was basically accepted as a check. He was never accepted as a human being. He was accepted because I'm getting paid to take care of you. And this is what usually happens. And listen, guys, it doesn't just happen with strangers. It happens with family members as well. They don't take that good care of these kids. They're smelling bad. They don't take them to the doctor. The hair is not nice, neat, and combed. And they're not well-groomed children at all, you know? You get around them and they smell like yesterday's trash. You know, they're not kept clean at all. Those children are considered paychecks. You're a guaranteed government check every once a month. And whatever vouchers I can get, you know, this is their mentality, to buy you clothes. I'm going to go get those clothes and I'm going to sell them. You know, and they'll keep you looking like, you know, a dusty rabbit that just came out of a hole, you know? So it's very heartbreaking to see these kids that are supposed to be protected. And guys, if you can remember back, I've had many people come on this show and tell you how they were abused in this system, you know, and treated and beaten and drugged. You know, it's very heartbreaking to actually think about, you know, I'm going to hit this kid with a 2x4. You know, I'm going to knock him upside his head. I've never even stomached. I can't even swallow it. It doesn't go down well because it hits the bottom of my stomach. And it's more like understanding someone's trauma and hearing this guy come forward and say, listen, I've been battered and abused. Remember, guys, it was a guy that was on the show. His own dad abused him. His dad, you know, I can't even fathom thinking a dad, because that's supposed to be like manpower. Kids look up to their dad. Little girls look up to their dads. Boys look up to their fathers, their dads, and they say, I want to be just like my dad when I grow up, you know, because he's big, he's strong, he's tough. And then when they abuse these kids, they grow up to be men and they don't really know how to cope, but they find a way. The inner person finds a way. It could be male or female that finds a way to cope with the abuse that has been given to them. And then you got sometimes in a household, you have the mother playing mommy and daddy because daddy's nowhere to be found. Daddy is off living his life and enjoying himself. You know, it just happens this way sometimes. And guys need to stand up and be better fathers, be better examples for their children, because these little eyes are watching you. They're watching every little thing you do. Think about it. When you say something and the baby's learning how to talk, you know, let's say 3-4 years old, they become tape recorders. People start watching what they're saying because they're like, he or she repeats everything I say, like a parakeet. So people tend to calm down their conversations. They start talking in Morse code. You ever did that? You start spelling out words because you're like, wait a minute, if I say that, they're going to repeat it. But if I spell it out, they're going to have a harder time trying to understand what I'm trying to say. You know, think about it. These kids today on social media, the parents are posting them up, cursing. It's because they're all picking up new vocabulary words and figuring how to use it in a sentence that makes sense when it does not. So be very mindful of the conversations you have around those growing ears, because they're picking up everything that you say. They're reenacting what you do. It's like a child seeing his mom being abused. What does he do? He starts preschool and he starts abusing the little kids in there with him. And they're like, automatically, this kid has a problem. And guess what? He needs to be on medication at 4 or 5 years old. This is where it all starts. And people try to wonder, like, where did they pick this up from? Because it's a growing mind. And these children will audio and video you at any given time. You will be surprised at some of the things that you say and you do that's being repeated in front of you or behind your back, you know. And God forbid there's something that happens in the household. It's mum's the word. No one is supposed to know. What do you have? The little parakeet that's telling everybody your business. What mommy did to daddy, what daddy did to mommy, what daddy said to mommy, what mommy said to daddy. And they're like, and people find these conversations very interesting. They're like, wait a minute, say that again, because I didn't hear that part. You're having a conversation with a four-year-old that now you're thinking is an adult because the four-year-old has gossip to tell you. Things that you didn't even know was going on. They're like, they're telling you everything. And I can see the faces on some of you people right now because you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, this is what happens. So then now you have to go to Morse code and start spelling stuff out. If you're having a dispute about something, now you have to have a dispute that is very quiet and under wraps because you don't want the parakeet telling, you know, grandma, grandpa, sister, brother, mother, father, friends of the family, the teacher at school. These kids go back and they repeat everything that happened. And then before you know it, you have DHS, you have Child Family Services, you have Division of Youth and Family Services in your life, and you don't even understand why. You know, it's like the five-year-old that actually brought a gun to school, preschooler. You know, what were you doing with a gun? Because he saw daddy playing with the gun. Well, daddy was actually cleaning it, but he said daddy was playing with it and he put it in his book bag because he was scared. So, you know, these are the things that can end up happening. You know, it happens every day. Kids are parakeets and they will be that way until never, Everland happens because this is exactly what they do. Guys, I wanted to touch base a little bit with you on next week's show. It's going to be very, very interesting. I mean, I have a guy that wants to come on. He wants to tell you guys that it's not just women who are victims, which is very interesting. And he actually owns a body shop. And some things have happened to him in this body shop where he was the actual victim of a very bad circumstance, you know, that happened. And he had to make decisions. And he actually had to videotape the situation because he didn't want the woman playing victim and saying, okay, this is what happened to me. And it was not truthful. You know, she was really the perpetrator and he was the victim. And basically, he was kind of held hostage in his own place of business, you know. Thank goodness it didn't end in a very bad situation where he had to basically, you know, use forceful actions to defend himself, which would have been probably on today's news or tomorrow's news. But another thing we want to talk about is toxic relationships and, you know, how to avoid them. And things that you can do to stay out the way, basically. You know, there's a lot of times people end up staying in toxic situations. And it's not always the guy who's toxic. Sometimes it's the woman who's toxic. You know, calling the guy, harassing him, not wanting the relationship to be over. You know, that all kind of plays a part with being in a toxic situation. And when these things happen, some people don't know how to walk away. Now, it's situations where, you know, guys will play the victim because there's some guys that will say that, you know, this is what happened. They will even go as far as saying, I was raped by her, you know. And it could happen. It could happen unless that person had some type of mental illness, some type of trauma that happened. I'll give you a quick synopsis of a situation. There was a gentleman that was involved with a young lady, and he came up with this "she raped me" story repeatedly. And with this story going forward, he had to create another story. And long story short, guys, you know, he was actually molested by his babysitter. Can you imagine that? So now this adult man, who is, by the way, a part of law enforcement, I'm not sure how he passed his psych exam with this type of trauma going on and with this memory of being molested by his babysitter playing in his mind. Very, very hard, you know, situation to digest, you know. And then he comes from a childhood of not knowing who his father was. The man who he thought was his father was not his father. I mean, this stuff you can't make up. You know, he actually introduced himself to a family that his mother told him, "Hey, listen, that guy over there is your father, and that's what you say. You don't say anything outside of that." He went along with his mom's story because she wanted him to be a part of a good situation, you know, not the real guy who basically, you know, one night stand and now I'm pregnant and now I have to raise this kid all by myself. That type of situation. So it's like, you know, it's very traumatic when now you have a grown man who has these inner thoughts of people that are of adult age doing things to him that happened to him in his childhood, which is very, very demeaning, you know, to the person that he is accusing of these actions, which, you know, had someone known that this guy was molested by his babysitter. By the way, guys, it's someone his mother trusted to babysit him, you know, while she had to go to work. So the babysitter was sleeping with this kid. At the time, guys, he was 9 years old, 8 or 9. So what did he know about, you know, sleeping with a woman that's in her 40s at 8 years old? You know, this woman basically took advantage of him. And now today, he's living with this trauma. You know, he goes along with the fake family story that he was a part of this family that he really wasn't a part of, you know, all psychotic behavior he had going on. And, you know, he just wanted to be accepted by anybody. His mom really never accepted him because she knew who, you know, his biological dad was. She never came to the forefront with it because she lied to him as a kid. She said everybody was his father, you know, and basically he was conceived in the backseat of a car, you know. Might as well have been conceived in the trunk. Yeah, I don't think it makes much of a difference, but, you know, if you're conceived in the backseat of a car, because at one point the mother was alleging that she was also raped. So unfortunately, the person she accused, it was all like fake news. You know, it was all false. He was actually a military guy, came in, you know, they come in, they go out. They come in looking for a good time. They go out with a bang. And guess what? Back in those days, I don't think, you know, condoms were on the map as much. You know, back then you get a little itch or a drip. It's basically go get some penicillin and that'll be that. This is basically what I was told. You know, that was way before my time. But that is what went on in those days. But, you know, very traumatic situation for this guy. Maybe he'll come on the show one day to tell us more about his traumatic experience of being molested by his babysitter, you know. And then I asked him, "Have you ran into this babysitter ever?" And he said he did. He said she said hi to him. And he basically was wondering why would she even say hi to him when she knew in her mind what she did. Guys, I'm telling you, this story is so deep. But next week, we'll get further details into it. And we'll have the guy that owns the body shop, who is a victim of, you know, a very heinous act of, you know, a young lady. We'll have him on the show. Guys, I'd like to thank you all for joining in today. I'm glad to see the numbers up. We have we're a little shy of 12 million listeners tonight. I really, really love having you guys on the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Next week, same bat time, same bat place. Tommy Torres signing off. Have a good night, guys. Bye now.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.